Inspiring solutions to save America, one show at a time. Are you ready to get on board?
They believe that they can destroy this bond that exists between you and Trump if they somehow make Trump look bad, make Trump look like a reprobate, embarrass you about Trump. They can't do it because you came before Trump. Desperately want Trump gone, and I know that they desperately want it codified that Trump cannot run again, because make no mistake, they remain scared to death of you, and they remain scared to death of Trump. Trump, 75 million, 80 million votes, and I'm going to tell you, you're not going anywhere. Even if Trump does, you're not. Which I think remains one of our big campaign strengths going forward. They can't separate you from Trump. And more importantly, they can't separate you from the ideas. They can't separate you from MAGA. They can't separate you from Make America Great Again.
From sea to shining sea, 3 hours of bold truth and excellence. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Welcome back, my friends. Hour number two of the Wendy Bell Radio Program. Is always so delighted to wrap up a busy work week with you. Thank you for being here. You know, it's so simple, I think. So much of life that seems so complicated really is not. And you know the old adage, you know, showing up is like half the job. Joe Biden doesn't show up. He's nowhere. He's not accessible because he's not in charge, because they're running interference, because they want you to believe something that obviously everybody who pays attention knows. Look, hearing these steam fitters talk about Joe Biden and the one saying, you know, F off, it is stunning, because it's instinctive to respond that way. None of what they've been trying to sell to you has stuck. And so now I'm very curious, what is going to be the play that will allow a cheat, that will allow a steal, that will allow some ridiculous narrative that everybody who's paying attention knows is garbage, that the media will glom onto and try to use to pump up Joe Biden? They can't do it. There's nothing to say. He can't walk in a fluid way. He has dementia. They can say it is what it is. He's got arthritis in his spine. But you know what? I recognize the look and the sound of Joe Biden, because I had a grandpa who had Alzheimer's disease. And to watch someone decay before your very eyes is breathtaking. All America wants, for once, is to be told the truth. It's all they want. Now, whether you believe what Donald Trump says or not, if you take the words out of the equation and you only look at the optics, he cares. He shows up. He wants to meet people. Joe Biden hides. He has to, because he's not well. And he's not going to make it. And they know that. So when the media begin to turn, when there are honest conversations and more honest reports coming out on the left, there's a serious issue going on. And there is with the New York Times and this White House. I do not look at the New York Times. I subscribe because I need to know what they're saying. I subscribe to the Washington Post. We pay attention to all sorts of different channels out there because we have to know what everybody is discussing. So you know what's coming. because they project it through the media. But this website, Politico, is saying this. New York Times blasting Joe Biden for avoiding interviews. Don't say to us, when you run for election in 2020, that yours is going to be the most transparent administration in American history. Because what that means to us is that you're not going to be available. You're going to have a press corps who's desperate to ask questions. And aside from cherry-picked sit-downs with CNN and maybe David Muir or Nora O'Donnell or Lester Holt, where everything is scripted and edited in such a way that the White House signs off on it, if that's the only access you're going to give, the media are going to start to be really ticked, and this is what's going on. Very interesting fissure in this relationship. So here's the headline. New York Times blasts Biden for avoiding interviews. They issued a scorching statement yesterday, blasting Joe Biden for avoiding media interviews as establishing a dangerous precedent. As liberals criticized the paper in response to a Politico report detailing friction between the Times and the White House, they are self-digesting. It is the jar of black ants and red ants. Everybody living together, seemingly harmoniously, until the jar gets shaken. Well, it's being shaken. The Times, in a statement, called it troubling that Joe Biden has so actively and effectively avoided questions from independent journalists during his term. Now, if you're going to say to me that New York Times is considered independent, I'm going to say what? Because please, you guys are in bed, in lockstep, with all the other outlets who took gobs of money during COVID under the CARES Act that ended up adding almost $5 trillion to our national debt. And it was used very strategically under the guise of a global pandemic emergency. Hey, news organizations, we, the Biden administration, we're going to hook you up, all right? We're going to float you some dough because this is going to get tricky for you. Now, do know, we expect something on the flip side. It seems like that payoff has been paid. That debt has been paid. And now you're getting some news organizations actually speaking out. You can't have a president and a White House that hides from media review, that hides from questions, that hides from any kind of accountability. And for the New York Times to call it out and for Politico to talk about it. I'm like, wait, what is going on? In meetings with Vice President Harris and other administration officials, this is interesting because the New York Times issued a statement as reporters for the publication also pushed back on this Politico story, which kind of detailed a tense relationship between the storied publication. I don't know. I think the New York Times has sucked for a long time. And the White House, denying that the publisher of the Times, some guy named A.G. Sulzberger or Stoltzberger, whatever, shapes the coverage of the paper. Is anybody out there surprised by that? Of course not. In meetings with Vice President Harris and other administration officials, the publisher of the Times focused instead on a higher principle that systematically avoiding interviews and questions from major news organizations doesn't just undermine an important norm. It also establishes a dangerous precedent that future presidents can use to avoid scrutiny and accountability, the statement reads. This is why Mr. Sulzberger has repeatedly urged the White House to have the president sit down with the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, Reuters, CNN, and other major independent news organizations that millions of Americans rely on to understand their government. Well, first of all, none of you is an independent news outlet. And I'm super surprised. Why didn't you say that they should sit down, that Joe Biden should sit down with the Washington Examiner, the Washington Times? Or how about the Daily Caller News Foundation? Or how about the Heritage Foundation? How about conservative groups? Joe Biden can't sit down with anybody, because he is not well. But it's this dangerous precedent thing that I'm intrigued by. Because Donald Trump talks to the media. Donald Trump would hold Sessions outside the lawn as Marine One was waiting to take him somewhere. And he would walk out and he would talk to the reporters. And he would speak to them. And sometimes he would come out when Kayleigh McEnany was doing briefings for the media, and he would come out and speak with them. When was the last time you saw Joe Biden other than in a scripted, staged, prefabricated environment? They cannot risk it. He is not competent. He is not aware. And he is not well. And there is no spin that is going to change that. And the American people know this. This is why, when asked, if Donald Trump is convicted of a crime, would that change your view and your vote? 67% said no. Everybody knows, the majority know what is at stake. And they know that Joe Biden is not there. Not running the country, not running policy, not communicating with Congress, not worried about our borders, not worried about inflation, not worried about anything, because he is gone. And when the New York Times says that, Houston, we've got a problem. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, let's talk about this, my friends. Banks are using, this is amazing, more than a dozen banks are using certain words to spy on Trump supporters. Wait, what? Banks? Oh, yeah. If you're MAGA, you've probably already been hit. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. So we had soccer practice last night, about half hour from our house. Got to take the Pennsylvania Turnpike to get there. Finally got there, dropped the boys off, and there's a restaurant right down the street where a lot of the parents go. We'll go and grab a pint or something and talk about what's going on with our kids, et cetera, et cetera. And a couple of the moms were talking about these apps they have on their kids' phones that allow them to monitor what they're doing, where they're going. They can monitor their location on their phone. And I was listening and I was like, that's just sort of creepy. I get it. I do. I've never done it. I've never tracked them. I've not rooted around their drawers. I haven't searched through their cars. I don't check their contacts. I don't see their text messages. I don't have some geo-tracking device on them. And I don't know. I was thinking, I'm like, am I a bad person? Am I a bad parent? Should I be more concerned? Should I be more involved in all of this? And I'm kind of in that boat where, until I feel the need to be nebby, I kind of watch at a distance and let my kids sink or swim on their own. And it's worked so far. Spying, it just always made me feel creepy. Sort of like banks spying on us. That's not happening. You know, I got a first whiff of this on January 6th when so many of the protesters we found had been locked into their hotels. And Washington, D.C., the Metro Police, were seen patrolling these big hotel chains where a lot of these protesters who had flown in from all over the country had ended up getting rooms. And we were like, how do they know where all of them are staying? Well, thanks to Bank of America, right, sharing that information with the feds, because that wasn't suspicious at all. All of these people have been tracked down. They've been harassed. Many have been arrested. They've been serving time. They're rotting in prison as we speak. So when I saw this, report says 13 banks helped the feds spy on Trump supporters. I was like, that's not possible. Of course it's possible. It's disgusting. This is a report in the Daily Mail. It says that Republicans in Congress are investigating more than 10 banks for colluding with the federal government to spy on Americans after the January 6th protests. How do you feel as a grown-up? Somebody who went maybe to the Capitol that day because it was important to you? Because you feared that that an election had been stolen or at the very least had been gravely compromised? That there have been so many questions about fraud and about incompetence and about strange things going on, and that none of us was able to ask these questions without being muzzled, without having fingers pointed at us, without us being accused of trying to overthrow the government? We were saying, wait a minute, no. We have this constitutional right, and you're trampling it. Of course, you won't be surprised at all to learn what qualifies as an extremism indicator, and that's what it is. The alleged witch hunt was in search of extremism indicators. That's what is coming out now. Federal investigators asked banks. Federal investigators is code for the Biden administration. The Obama administration. Asked banks to search and filter customer transactions by using terms like MAGA and Trump as part of an investigation into January 6, warning that purchases of religious texts could also indicate extremism. The House Judiciary Committee revealed on Wednesday. Bank of America, Chase, U.S. Bank, Wells Fargo, Citibank, and Truist were already being targeted in the probe looking to expose how the U.S. Treasury's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network and the FBI work together. We have terrorists in this country from foreign places that want to kill us. We have students chanting death to freaking America who are protesting on college campuses, snarling education, right? And we have a government that's targeting people who go out and are buying Bibles or who show up at the U.S. Capitol to watch history, who are being hassled, who are being harassed, who are getting knocks on their door from the FBI. Hi, we'd like to ask you a few questions about something you wrote on Instagram. Say what? And you want to tell me for real that Donald Trump is a threat to democracy? Donald Trump is a threat to everything totalitarian. Donald Trump is a threat to everything unaffordable, crazy, woke, and that sucks. Donald Trump is a threat to everybody out there who wants to put you under their thumb while they insider trade, enrich themselves, travel all over the world, and make you freaking pay for it. How dare you? So think about it. If you're a Bank of America, Chase, U.S. Bank, Wells Fargo, Citibank, or Truist customer, what are you doing? There's got to be a patriotic bank out there that doesn't suck. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, protesting for terrorists becoming a little too trendy on our college campuses. We're going to peel back another layer of this story. Do not miss it next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. Welcome back to the Wendy Bell Radio program. There was an audio soundbite that we played for you on yesterday's show. And if I'm not mistaken, it's a young student. It's a woman. Don't you find it curious that all of these protesters, these student activists who have been infiltrated by professional protesters, like hired and compensated protesters whose job is to bounce from one location to another to stir unrest, to sow discontent, to be malignant and to be jerks? I mean, let's call it what it is. I mean, we saw it on January 6th. This is what's going on college campuses all over. I mean, people don't have, like, you know, made-to-order pro-Palestine pop-up tents for, you know, whenever a protest is going to break out on the lawn of the university. It's amazing how quickly these people can move because it's all coordinated. It's funded by dark money, people who suck. And these are intent, these are purposefully malignant organizations who try to give themselves a name that sounds like they're pro-liberty, pro-freedom, pro-goodness. Don't you want to be a part of that? When really what it is just about making everybody angry and shaking up the jar of ants and having everybody devour each other. So this was the audio soundbite we played you yesterday. And it has me still angry today because the young woman who's being asked by a reporter, why are you here in New York protesting, does not have an answer. Go.
Each university must protect pro-Palestinian speech on campus.
And what would you say is the main goal with tonight's protest?
I think the goal is just showing our support for Palestine and demanding that NYU stops. I honestly don't know all of what NYU's doing.
Is there something that NYU's doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Do you know what NYU's doing?
About what?
About Israel. Why are we protesting?
Oh, my God.
Palestine will be free!
I wish I was more educated.
I'm not either.
Oh.
I came from Columbia. I was there up at Columbia, and we came down. They said NYU students needed our support. So I came down. I heard there's lots of cops. Some people were saying it was getting dangerous.
It's ridiculous! How embarrassing! Can you imagine being her parents? Yeah, you could. Because there's a pretty good chance any of our kids would do the same. Go with the flow. There's a wave of emotion. There's something going on. There's activity. Let's go. Gets me off my phone, but let me record this. What are we doing? I don't know. I wish I was a little more educated. The best part is if he would have done a Jay Leno and had gone up and been like, can you point out Palestine on this map? How about Russia? Can you find, where's Ukraine? Do you know anything? No. But I did grab my mask because that's important. So here's the story. It's apparently now spread. These protests have spread all across the country. Now they've unfolded at George Washington University. Anti-Israeli protesters. That's called pro-terror, pro-Hamas. So we kind of crossed over into your border and we killed a bunch of you and we beheaded some people and stuck children in ovens and raped your women and paraded them around in the back of pickup trucks. And yeah, we're for that on college campuses. That's what we're for. Are you out of your mind? What? So George Washington University, the DMV Coalition of Students for Justice in Palestine, organizing a joint encampment that was established on George Washington University's campus in University Yard Thursday morning. According to an Instagram post from Students for Justice in Palestine at GWU, a student organization. You know what? I'm just going to say this. I remember when Ryan, my son Ryan, and I... And my husband, Joe, we went to Vanderbilt University. This is really where Ryan wanted to go. Super, super hard to get into. Did not get in. But I remember sitting in there for the hey, welcome, everybody. We're going to take you on a campus tour. We're going to show you our school. But before we do, we're going to bring up some woman who checks a box, because that's more important to us than anything. And she's going to go over all the different things that happen here. And she talked about the 400 and counting student clubs and organizations. Why do you need all these student clubs and organizations? Aren't you there just to learn, to get an education, to figure out who the hell you want to be, what you want to do? More importantly, and I say this to my kids, look, college is 95% hating what you're doing class-wise. At least you can check that off your list. Don't really want to be a geologist, you know? I'm not going to go into chemistry. Good to know. Instead, we've got all of these organizations that are getting kids together to get angry and to do all this stuff. Listen to this. Here's a protester. You got to hear what these people are talking about. Here's an idiot with a megaphone at George Washington University. Listen to what they're chanting out and calling out to people who are attending these rallies. Go.
Each university must protect pro-Palestinian speech on campus. Each university must divest from companies selling technology and weapons to the Zionist regime.
Now, I guarantee you right now, if I had an opposing megaphone and I said, excuse me, everybody, look over here. Can anybody describe what the word Zionist means? They'd be like, what? Does anybody know what you're actually doing here? No, I'd put my money on it. Well, how about this one? There's a nice, it's a very friendly chant. Everybody's wearing masks. All of these triggered kids wearing masks, sucked into this vortex of protest without really knowing what they're doing. You are celebrating terrorists. You are championing rape and mutilation. And remember the paraglider guys with the AK-47s who hosed everybody down? You guys are cool with that. Honestly, listen to the chants. Students United will never be defeated. You know what? This is a great time for one of those billionaire hedge fund guys to come out and to say, you know what? We got 13 banks freaking spying on January 6 people who put MAGA or Patriot in something that they purchase or is on their social media. I want all of these kids at these rallies. Let's geolocate them, because if any single one of them want to apply for a job with my firm, they can suck it. I think that makes sense. What is it about red states, by the way? How is it that the University of Texas Austin, which is by no means a conservative institution, right? No stretch. No way is Austin even remotely red. But for some reason, you got a campus president there who can say, you know what? You guys want to protest? You want to interrupt people? You want to walk out of class? You want to disrupt the educational process for other students? You can be arrested. How's that possible? And in Florida, how can Ron DeSantis and the schools there have a pair and say, you want to do this? We're going to boot you. But George Washington, how about anywhere? NYU, Columbia, Harvard, Yale, Northwestern, UCLA, USC, all of them. They're like, I don't know. It's their right to protest. Listen to Ron DeSantis yesterday. He's like, look, we drag students. You want to lie down and you want to block a bridge or you want to block a road and you want to screw with the flow of traffic because you're not done with the summer of love and you were allowed to do that in 2020? You want to do that in Miami? You want to do that in Fort Lauderdale and Bogey? You want to do that in Jacksonville? Not a chance. We will remove you. Listen.
You think about what happened when you have these Hamas demonstrators out. They're taking over bridges and they're taking over roads. And first of all, you don't have a right to do that.
Bingo.
You have someone get stuck in traffic. How do you know if someone may need to get to a hospital? Someone may need to pick up a child somewhere and you're just going to commandeer the road, because you have this ideological prediction. They tried to do that in Miami. And what happened? In 10 minutes, they got dragged off the road where they belonged. And we're not going to tolerate that. You look at...
100% correct. And did you guys see Hamas? Some grand jerk with Hamas has put out a statement encouraging the student protests in the United States to get bigger, to get louder, to get worse. And that there's some wrap-up smear reporting about some mass grave that they found over in Gaza near a hospital. Oh my gosh! The Israeli defense team, they tried to hide all of the carnage. No, they found a grave of bodies that Hamas and the Palestinians had buried in a mass environment. And they're trying to sick it on the Israeli forces as it's them. They've exterminated all these people and they tried to bury all of them in this. Not even remotely what happened. And yet it's being parroted. CNN's Christiane Amanpour. I listened to a freaking report of hers yesterday parroting that very allegation. All we want is the truth. Can anybody tell the truth? As for Ron DeSantis and the state of affairs on college campuses and universities in Florida, he doesn't really mince a lot of words. You want to do it? You want to protest and disrupt education? You want to block our roads as a student? You will be expelled. Listen.
Some of the stuff with the Hamas, I think, is absurd that someone would go out and demonstrate on that. But, you know, when you're chasing Jewish students around, when you're not letting a Jewish professor enter a building, when you're targeting people like that, that's not free speech. I mean, that's harassment. That violates appropriate conduct. And yet, at Columbia, at Yale, all these places, those folks rule the roost. They do whatever they want. And these administrators and the presidents of these universities are weak. They're scared, and they don't do anything. You know, you do that in Florida at our universities, we're showing you the door. You're going to be expelled when you're doing that stuff. And you know what? The minute people start to face consequences, you are not going to see this nonsense going on.
Boom. The minute people see consequences for their behavior, i.e. the minute the adults in the room decide to stand up and show up and grab somebody by the ear and say, come here, sonny. Hell no. Good for you, Ron DeSantis. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, you know, we can send $60 billion to freaking Ukraine with no receipts. And Arlington National Cemetery is falling apart. They're no longer offering the horse-drawn carriage funeral processions for our fallen heroes. What? Next. You know, I got a message yesterday from a veteran. And he said, I'm just flabbergasted that we have elected leaders who would cheer and wave Ukrainian flags on the floor of the House of Representatives and celebrate sending money that we don't have, that we're going to ask our kids to pay back to Ukraine when the situation at Arlington National Cemetery is dire. Did you guys know that the $60 billion we're sending to Ukraine is more than we pay to have the Marine Corps? It's bigger than their budget. And we're just giving it. For what? To do what? And so this veteran said, and I'm disgusted, because the Arlington horse-drawn funerals for our fallen heroes are still on hold. Why? Not enough money to care for the horses. Are you out of your mind? Arlington is like Gettysburg. It's one of those must-see destinations, whether or not you have children, whether or not you go with someone. Because the minute you step on the property, you understand the gravity of where you are. And you can imagine the sacrifice. The bodies that were blown up. Our young men and women killed so that we can protest for a pro-terrorist organization on college campuses. I mean, it doesn't make sense. It's not supposed to. So I did some searching, and this man who wrote me is 100% right. And thank you, sir, for reaching out to me. Military.com. The Army says it will continue the suspension of horse-drawn funeral services at Arlington National Cemetery after roughly a year of no operations, leaving some family members with a tough decision on how they want to honor their service members. The timeline for when those services will resume is unclear. Officials said Friday. The original suspension followed a string of military working horse deaths. Reports of unsanitary and potentially life-threatening living conditions for these animals, as well as congressional scrutiny directed at the Army's 3rd Infantry Regiment, also known as the Old Guard, the service premier ceremonial unit, which is in charge of conducting the horse-drawn services. The Army and Arlington National Cemetery officials on Friday assured the public that there were no families awaiting services due to the suspension. I find that very hard to believe. If my son or daughter died as a military member and I wanted this horse-drawn ceremony, this Kaizen ceremony, am I going to wait a year? Am I going to wait 2 years for their remains to be interred somewhere? Of course not. What are we doing? We don't have enough money to take care of the damn horses at Arlington National Cemetery, one of the most historic and important zip code destinations in our country. And we scratch our head. Huh? I can't fathom why nobody wants to be in the military. I don't know why anybody wants to be a cop anymore either. We apologize for any confusion last week and regret any further emotional stress that families awaiting this service may have endured. The person who's chief of public affairs for Arlington National Cemetery told military.com, we will continue to review our case records to determine if there are any remaining families who've opted to wait for the return of the Kaizen. I think that's how you say it. I've never known how to say that word, and I had to look it up to get the phonetics, and I think that's right. Kaizen. After speaking with the family, the military.com interviewed apparently about, hey, what are we doing? We're turning our back. We're turning our backs on these families. We don't have the bucks needed to maintain stables or permanent housing situation for these horses. But we can send money to Iran. We can send money to Israel, to Palestine, to Ukraine. We can bankrupt our children for something that's not going to benefit us right now. And we're going to disrespect these families. It's how I felt when I was on the plane a couple weeks ago, coming back from the University of Tennessee with Ryan, my son. And we happened to be on the plane with the body of a fallen soldier. We ask you to please stay in your seats so that the staff sergeant's remains, so he can leave the plane first. And many of the people sitting around me were impatient that it was taking too long for his coffin to come off the conveyor belt. What? Like, if these are the values, are you surprised what's going on college campuses? Because respect and love of country and the whole idea of making America great again, it's not something that's taught. It's not something that's celebrated. It's something that's investigated and spied on by this government. And on college campuses, there have been American flags that have been burned. I encourage you to stay here for the third hour of this program, because fresh back within the last several hours from the University of Texas, Austin, our national security expert, John Guandolo, is joining this program, and he's going to tell you what it's like, what he heard, what he saw, and what's really happening with these pro-terror supporters. Blow your mind. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network.